I'm going to finish with a section from the poem Flow Chart. It's a double sestina, which is unlike the regular sestina, which has six stanzas of six lines, each and an envoy of three lines. This has 12 of 12 lines and an envoy of six lines, and there are 12 end words, which you might want to be aware of. Breath. I chose these from the only example I could find, which was by Swinburne, and I used the same end words he did so as not to get confused. However, I ended up writing a more somber poem than I had intended due to the nature of these words. Breath, her, way, death, sunflower, sun, day, bed, thee, dead, done, and me are the words. We're interested in the language that you call breath. If breath is what we are to become, and we think it is, the southpaw said, throwing her a bone sometimes, sometimes expressing something like mild concern. The way has been so hollowed out by travelers it has become cavernous. It leads to death. We know that, yet for a limited time only, we wish to pluck the sunflower, transport it from where it stood, proud, erect, under a bungalow blue sky, grasping at the sun, and bring it inside as all others sink into the common mold. The day had begun inauspiciously, yet improved as it went along, until at bedtime it was seen that we had prospered, I and thee. Our early frustrated attempts at communicating were in any event long since dead. Yet I had prayed for some civility from the air before setting out, as indeed my ancestors had done, and it hadn't hurt them any, and I purposely refrained from consulting me, the culte du moi being a dead thing, a shambles. That's what led to me. Early in the morning, rushing to see what has changed during the night, one stops to catch one's breath. The older the presence we now see, the more it has turned into thee with a candle at thy side. Were I to proceed as my ancestors had done, we all might be looking around now for a place to escape from death, for he has grown older and wiser. But if it please God to let me live until my name day, I shall place bangles at the forehead of her who becomes my poetry, showing her teeth as she smiles, like sun stabs through raindrops. Drawing with a finger in my bed, she explains how it was all necessary, how it was good I didn't break down on my way to the showers, and afterwards, when many were dead who were thought to be living, the sun came out for just a little while and patted the sunflower on its grizzled head. It likes me the way I am, thought the sunflower. Therefore, we all ought to concentrate on being more me, for just as nobody could get along without the sun, the sun would tumble from the heavens if we were to look up, still self-absorbed, and not see death. It doesn't matter which day of the week you decide to set out on your journey, the day will be there. And once you are off and running, it will be there still. The breath you decide to catch comes at the far end of that day's slope, when her vision is not so clear anymore. You say goodbye to her anyway, for the way gleams up ahead. You don't need the day to see it by. And though millions are already dead, what matters is that they didn't break up the fight before I was able to get to thee, to warn thee what would be done to thee if more than one were found occupying the same bed. Which is how we came to spend the night in the famous bed that James VI of Scotland had once slept in. On its head, the imperial sunflower was inscribed, amid a shower of shooting stars. I say imperial, though by day he was a king like any other, only a little more decent, perhaps. And next morning the sun came slashing through the crimson drapes, and I was like to have died. Although my death would have encouraged a few, it did not happen then or now, and still that me, as I like to call him, saunters on, caring little for the others, the past a dead letter as far as he's concerned. So that I wrote to her, asking if she cared anything about the way he was going about it, and did she know what others had done to stop him in similar circumstances. Her reply, brought to me late at night, when no breath of wind stirred in the treetops outside, brought me up short. If to thee he offers neither apology nor protest, then for him it is a good thing. For thee, on the contrary, it augurs ill. If I were thee, I'd stay in bed from dawn to evening, waiting, at least until the sun disappears from our heavens and goes to hector those cringing in the house of the dead. There can be no luck in harvest time, no tipping of the scales, while yet he draws breath. I thanked her emissary and tiptoed out without telling him what I thought of her. How extraordinary that as soon as one settles on a plan of action, whether it be day or darkest midnight, someone will always try to discourage you, citing death as a possible side effect. Yet I could not, would not dismiss my beloved boy. No way would I proceed along the sea with no one to bounce my ideas off of but me. And so we two rode together. It was almost late afternoon by the time we reached the Sunflower, as the gigantic decaying apartment complex was named. A noted architect had done it right once, with open spaces, communal nurseries, walkways. Yet when he had done, no one liked it. People refused to move in. It was cold and impersonal. To thee, however, it seemed a paradise. The long alienating corridors which the sun sliced through at regular intervals were as confusing as a casbah. The dead tennis courts and watchtowers seemed a present sent by death to distract you while you waited, always for her touch. That said, there was plenty to do at night, while during the day-long siesta one dreamed and brooded not and felt fairly good. No hog's breath stirred the rusting weeds in the little yard in front of the veranda. Like me, you too chose to put a better construction on these things than perhaps the case warranted. In any case, bed always solves everything, at least for the time being. I went out and plucked a sunflower, but it was empty. The birds had eaten all the seeds. Surely there is a way to avoid feeling lonesome and sorry for oneself. But up until today, no way has opened before me. I'm both those things, though one would suffice. What's done is done, they say. Yet I can't help wondering whether, on a different day, you might have turned around and walked back where I was lying face down in bed, and told me all the love, all the respect you had for me that was like a shining in you at me, and we could have gone off to analyze our situation and add up the particulars. Your breath was your own private property, of course, and you cared little for mine, but in the case of her father being in the news and so many other officials who had turned out to be dead, perhaps in a few years' time, we would have forgotten all that and live, sunflower and sun, in periods of rain and drought, as they do in Africa, and never fear the sun. It is written and played on the African thumb piano that those who to thee go and return unremembering are earmarked for a lonely, unpleasant death, and those to whom thou goest never grumble, even at the prospect of death. Therefore, it is urgent that we all, pursuers and pursued, be moving in the common way, for that is the only way to outwit death, none too clever though he may be. To thee I say, stand as though on a ladder picking apricots. Your back should be to the sun, and all will pass. You'll be satisfied, you'll see. No need to shake the sunflower husk for dried kernels. Indeed, all the grasses are long dead.